Amen. So glad. I tell you what, good singing to beat poor preaching anytime. I believe that. And that's good singing. Enjoyed the song service very much and glad to have the opportunity to try in my own feeble way to preach the truth to you tonight. Certainly thankful for the opportunity to meet with you. I was really hitting it hard trying to get here. I said, maybe I'll just get there before song service starts. But I was looking at the Georgia time on my dashboard. I was actually the first one here. I was so pleased. I don't even get to be the first one at church, at home at church. So I'm glad to be here with you today and hope that you'll pray for me the time that I stand before you. I've turned over very many things. A lot of times it's worse to have lots of things on your mind than to have nothing on your mind. But what continually is coming to my mind is a psalm, the 127th psalm. And I hope that you'll go with me if you have your Bibles and pray for me, that what I'll say is sound and honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate. As I've read that psalm many times, I always seem to break it, whether it's right or not, I always seem to break it into two different portions. That first portion, which is such a strong and wonderful encouragement to God's people that God watches over the city. And if, you know, unless God keeps the city will not be kept. A lot of people are very proud of the United States of America today. They're very proud of our military, very proud of our heritage, and I'm thankful to be an American. And I'll put my hand over my heart, and I'll pledge the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, and I'm thankful to do that. I'm thankful for the great heritage that we have. But brothers and sisters, as strong as we think we are and as rich as we may become, unless the Lord keeps this city, unless the Lord keeps this nation, it shall not stand. I have great fear in my heart many times for the United States of America. I certainly believe that the Lord has probably maintained us here for as long as he has because the church is here. And the United States of America has always been a great place of peace and protection for the Lord's people as they are escaping from persecutions of different kinds. And coming to this, I read not too long ago where a family from Germany, by law, they are not allowed to homeschool their children. Well, brothers and sisters, what most people don't realize, up to about 150 years or so ago, all children were basically homeschooled. Some of the greatest people we've ever had in this nation were homeschooled. But the nation of Germany has now outlawed that because it does not harmonize with what they want to teach in the public schools. And these people have come to the United States of America, and they are hoping to get, as it were, asylum for political persecution because their home government will not allow them to homeschool their children in the way that they see fit and in a godly manner. And I hope and pray they get to stay over here, and I hope and pray they get to teach their children exactly what they want because they're wanting to teach them of the truths of God's Word. Well, brothers and sisters, God protect our nation. God bless our country. And we need to be praying for that continually. I'm not all this gloom and doom. I know right now I'm not real pleased with what's going on in the White House and Congress. I don't know how many of you are. If you are real pleased about it, come explain to me why. I totally missed it. I haven't gotten it yet. But there is one thing I can take great pleasure in. The Lord Jesus Christ is still on his throne. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the very same Lord who is able to hear the prayers of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the very same Lord who is able to change the heart of Nebuchadnezzar and strike him down as a beast of the field, and the very same Lord who is able to change a wicked king named Manasseh one day, brothers and sisters, and the very same Lord who is able to change my wicked heart and bring me into submission to his obedience, brothers and sisters, is the same God who is able to steer the heart of the king even today. Some people may say, well, we don't have a king. I think he may think he's a king, but brothers and sisters, whether it's a king or whether it's a president or whatever the potentate may be, the Lord still has the power to change him. You know, we need to be praying for our leaders. Now, somebody may say, how can you pray for such a man? How can you pray for men that we deem to be wicked and that do not love God? Well, brothers and sisters, I tell you what I can do. I can pray to the Lord of glory that if it be according to his will, that he's able to bend whatever leader we may have at whatever level of government we have, that he is able to bend him according to the Lord's will. Brothers and sisters, not only that, I need to be praying that the Lord's going to bend me according to his will. You know, growing up, I had some dear relatives that were, you know, blessed. I don't want to offend anybody. They're farmers. I love them very much. But they were perfectly willing to vote for abortion as candidates simply because they were a certain political party. And they would not defend the things that the party stood for, but because it affected their paycheck, they were willing to cast a vote a certain way. Brothers and sisters, I would to God I could go broke and stay broke the rest of my life if the scourge of abortion would be scourged from this nation. Brothers and sisters, we are to cast our vote according to the compulsions of the heart that the Lord has given us according to his word and not according to this pocketbook that we have. Yes, I like to have money in my pocketbook. I'm not above needing the carnal things of this life. But brothers and sisters, more than anything else, I need the Lord's guidance, I need the Lord's providence, and I need his special blessings every day that I live. So here he goes on and he gives this very strong proclamation. And notice the wording here. He says in verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." How many of you have ever done that? Rise up early because you say, you know what? If I don't get a certain amount done today, I'm afraid everything's just gonna fall apart. I've been that way. Have you ever stayed up late worrying? I'm not gonna ask anybody to raise their hands. I know you have. If you haven't, God bless you. But I tell you what, I've stayed up late worrying about things. Worrying about my job, worrying about the economy, worrying about whether or not I'm going to be able to find a house in a good neighborhood that I can afford. Worry, 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 worry. But hear the message of God to his people, brothers and sisters. It says, it is vain. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. Stop worrying. God is in control. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's one thing, and I'm going to get it right down to home, Primitive Baptist. If it's one thing I would to God that Primitive Baptists would do is it stop worrying about what they don't have and start looking at what they do have. We do have the God of glory. I believe we do have the Spirit and the truth, and we do have everything we need to conquer and overcome in this world. I see so many churches perishing and languishing. Why? Because they only meet once a month, or they only meet this. They could meet more, but they don't. Now, I'm not up here to step on anybody's toes. You don't have to invite me back. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. So the reason so many people are afraid to meet more Sundays at their home church so that they can be an active light in their community, the people that they're inviting to church, brothers and sisters, don't you want to be there when they come? You know, that just makes sense that if you're inviting people to come to church, you want to be there when they come. But the reason that so many Primitive Baptists don't do that is because we don't have a pastor for that Sunday. Well, brothers and sisters, if you're not meeting, you don't need a pastor for that Sunday. We need to be meeting. The problem with Primitive Baptists in so many ways is that we don't step out on faith. Now, I'm not here to name it and, you know, claim it. I'm not teaching that kind of prosperity gospel. But brothers and sisters, is there not prosperity in the gospel? Is there not blessings for the faithful in this life? Do we tend to lose sight of the God that's able to divide the Red Sea, but yet we doubt that he's able to raise up a no good, so-and-so like me to preach the gospel? Brothers and sisters, we need to stop doubting and we need to start trusting in the Lord more. This worrying and singing laments and sackcloth and ashes over the demise of the church, I've had my belly full of it. The church, my friends, has got everything she needs to thrive in this world. What she needs is people who will stop rising up early and stop sitting up late in a vain exercise of worry and mullygrubbing and long-facedness. We've got the King, my friends. We are children of the King, and we need to act like children of the King. I'm not just up here to, I believe this now, I tell you. I would to God that every single church with the name Primitive Baptist would meet every Sunday and pray for pastors to be brought up. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is faithful. We need to be more faithful. That's just one exercise. That's just one example, okay? Just one example. He said here, and he says, "Vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." But then it's kind of strange. Notice the theme seems to completely change. Boop! Lo, children. Now, wait a minute now. We went from the safety of the city straight into an expression about how great children are. I'll amen that. They're awesome. I tell you, children are wonderful. He goes on to say, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of him. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Have you ever wondered why that psalm Starts off talking about the rest, the comfort, and the confidence that the Lord's people need to have in the Lord. And then it goes directly into an expression of how wonderful children are, how blessed they are to us. Well, brothers and sisters, I didn't understand it. I hope I've got light on it now. But you understand something. That psalm doesn't need to be divided. That psalm needs to be whole. You know, we just certainly don't want to add nor take away. But we tend to kind of put things in a certain box. But the more I read about this, brothers and sisters, I take the message of we need to stop worrying as the Lord's people. The Lord is in control. And the message that our children are blessed, all in the same context. You know, the reason that I think about this was that I had a discussion with someone not long ago, and bless her heart, she was just in agony. I grew up with her son. We used to bump around together. I was not always a preacher. I did things I regret, and I did it with people I regret doing it with. And he was there with me practically all the time, you know, and I love his mother very much. She's very, very dear to me. But she is in agony every time I see her. She's in absolute agony. Because no matter what she tries or what she does, she cannot get her son saved. She cannot get him saved. She begs and she pleads and she aggravates and worries the stew out of him because she feels like that if she doesn't get him to church and get him to make the confession and go through the waters, that hell's going to be his abode. Now, brothers and sisters, I will say this. Anybody who rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ, that does not bode well for them. Now, I know I can't look on the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that. And I don't have the right, if somebody rejects the gospel, to say, well, I know they're going to hell. But the Apostle Paul did say those who hate and resist the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's an evident token of their perdition. I'll tell you what, I can't tell you that they're going to hell, but brothers and sisters, I can mark them and understand that I need to stay clear of them, that I don't need to have fellowship with them in the church, that they've heard the gospel and they've rejected it. And brothers and sisters, a heretic after the first and second admonition, we're told to reject. I'm not saying we have the authority to go saying who's going to hell, but I'll tell you this, my friends, we need to be dwelling with those who we feel like going to heaven. And we need to be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit so that people's hearts and minds are touched by the truth of that gospel and that it will move them, my friends, to find the blessed assurance and peace and comfort that we've been blessed to have. We need to have that fervor and that zeal to preach the gospel. But brothers and sisters, bless her heart, she feels like that is his only way to get to heaven. And he's lacking that. Brothers and sisters, I believe the psalmist here is telling us of the inspiration of God, the same Lord who keeps the city, and the same Lord who tells us that it is vain for us to sit up late and to rise up early, thinking that we of our own ingenuity and we of our own craft and we of our own ability have to get on the ball and stay on the ball or else everything is going to come undone. Brothers and sisters, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And I'll tell you this, my friends, eternal salvation in Christ Jesus is one of those things that he upholds with the word of his own power. She goes to bed every night in tears and agony, thinking that it's something she's lacking or something more maybe she can do. Maybe it's another program. Maybe it's a new book. Maybe it's a new way I talk to him to where he might go to heaven. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm thankful to know I'm just a plain old primitive Baptist who believes in the predestination and election of the Lord's people, that he is going to have his people. He doesn't require anybody's assistance. Brothers and sisters, he told us in the Psalms that if he were hungry, he would not even ask us, for the cattle of 1,000 hills are his, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, they are all his. In the book of Job, chapter 35, he said, look, the righteousness that you do, it'll do good unto another man. But what if you do unrighteously? He makes very plain, it still does nothing against the purposes of God. Psalms 115, verse 3, I believe it is, said, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now, brothers and sisters, I go to bed worrying and getting up early a lot of times about certain things. I want to make sure that I'm tending the flock that the Lord, the Holy Ghost, has made me overseer of in a proper way. I don't want to see my teenagers, going to dances and hoochie-coochieing and wearing shirts and stuff down to here and skirts up to here and breeches down to here. Thank God for belts. I would to God young men in America would learn how to use them. I tell you, it just eats me alive. It gets my redneck up now. I got too much redneck in me to see some fella. You know what, overalls, I'd be in overalls right now if y'all would have it. You know, I like to have my britches secure. My friends, what happens to America where they think it's all right? Well, it does say one thing. It's a lot easier to catch them when they run from the scene of the crime, is it not? Let me tell you something, my friends. I get concerned about things, but there's one thing I shouldn't be concerned about, my friends. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I'll tell you, I can glory in the Lord every day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I believe verse 7 says, for he hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I'm so glad I'm among a group of people that believe that children that die in infancy are providentially and blessedly saved of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody may say, well, Brother Joe, where would you go to teach that? Well, certainly, first thing I would say is I know he's able. Amen. John the Baptist leapt for joy of the Holy Ghost at the approach of Mary, who was with child of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist leapt with joy of the Holy Ghost. My friends, you find anybody that ever leaps of joy. You know, we don't do a lot of leaping in the Primitive Baptist Church. You know, that reminds me of Elder David Guthrie from North Alabama. When he first came to the church, he came to us from another order of people. And they're a little more, you know, charismatic in their worship, you know. And I think it was Brother Guy Hunt, he was there among one of his congregations, and Brother David got in the spirit, and before he knew it, he cocked one leg way on up. I mean, he got excited, and leg cocked up, and you could tell everybody was going like, you know, we ain't used to that around here, you know, we ain't not used to this. Brother Guy got up and said, brothers and sisters, said, just don't worry about it all, and I hope I'm quoting him correctly, God rest his soul. He said, you know, sometimes the Holy Ghost, God moves in mysterious ways, and the Holy Ghost just moved that brother's leg. That's all it was. And, you know, he said, don't worry about it. Well, you know, we're just not real demonstrative in our worship a lot of times. But brothers and sisters, oh, I tell you, just to be able to leap with joy and understand what the Lord has done for us is such a special, special blessing. I believe the Lord is able to save. He's able to save from the womb. We know that David, there was one that saved from the womb over in 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 12. David was faced by Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet basically told him that his child she was impregnated out of wedlock, that child was going to die, that he had murdered Uriah the Hittite, and Bathsheba's child was going to die. And he lamented for the child until the child died. And what was his statement about that child? He said, I will go to him, he shall not return to me. Now I've heard some highfalutin folks say, well, you know, I believe there David was not talking about eternal salvation, but he was talking about the grave. Well, you can gobble that up if you want to, my friends. I believe that baby is in heaven right now. I believe David is in heaven right there with him. And I'll tell you what, my brothers and sisters, you hide and watch. One day this sky is going to open up. The Lord's going to take all of us to heaven one day if we don't die first. And when we do die, our soul and spirit will immediately awaken with the Lord in heaven. These bodies will one day be conformed and be reunited with soul and spirit. Isn't that good news? Isn't that happy today? When you go out here and you're around a bunch of and foul people, when you can think about the resurrection of the dead, and you can think about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can know that the Lord has power to save, my friends. Oh, brothers and sisters, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and the Lord doeth his will, both among the inhabitants of heaven, the armies of heaven, and the inhabitants of earth. None can stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? The Lord is able to save. The psalmist David in Psalms 22 was said, thou hast taken me from my mother's womb. He said, thou causest me to hope. Thou makest me to hope when I was on my mother's breast. Brothers and sisters, what is hope? Hope is a fruit of the Spirit. And the hope that he's talking about there, of that same psalmist who was inspired of the Lord. And I believe that same psalmist who was inspired of the Lord knew exactly what he was talking about when he said, I'll go to him, he shall not return to me. I believe he was talking about heaven, my friends. Heaven. We go to a couple of different places, and by all means, my friends, I'm not here to try to teach you that there's no need for us to preach the gospel and there's no salvation in the gospel. But what I am here to do is empower you with the knowledge that your God is able, he has never failed, and he's never needed any help. And if that's the truth of the Lord, my friends, and that's the same Lord that empowers us to preach the gospel, and we can see change in our homes, in our communities, and in our churches, we need to have that power of the Lord, his power to save before us at all times. We go to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3, and here Job is made to bewail. He's lamenting why he was ever born. Verse 12, why did the knees prevent me, or why should the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest, with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden, untimely birth. What's he talking about here? A miscarriage. A hidden, untimely birth. I had not been as infants, which never saw light. So here he's describing an infant which never saw light. That was a hidden, untimely birth. Now, what did he say next? Verse 17, there where that child is. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. Brothers and sisters, where does that sound like to you? That sounds like heaven to me. That sounds like peace. That sounds like being at rest. And the more I live in this life, the more I long for that rest and I long for that comfort. Brothers and sisters, we go to another place where it talks about these young ones, these children. We go over to the book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 there, and here we see maybe an indication of what the Lord has in store for children who die in infancy. let me see exactly where I want to go. He said, but nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Verse 20, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, who are the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? They were fitted in Adam's fall to destruction, my friends, awaiting them at their demise. It's a place called hell. It's an eternal lake of fire, and the Lord has dominion and power over that. But what did he say of these wicked people who are going here? That they were vessels that the Lord had exercised great long suffering in. Well, brothers and sisters, little children that die in infancy, there's no long suffering involved there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, some people may say, well, Brother Joe, you know, I think there's some other explanations for this. Do we really have the right in the church to teach that children that die in infancy all go to heaven? Well, you might could find alternate explanations for these verses of Scripture. Go right ahead. But my friends, why would you want to? Why would you want to? Woe be unto me if I thought that these little blessed babies, this world calls them a fetus, but my friends, those are babies. They're babies in that womb. They're babies created after the image of God. And they're being destroyed and slaughtered straight from the womb, my friends, not by the millions, but by the billions. We're doing it in this country with the government sanction of law. That grieves my heart. Why has the Lord not consumed us yet? Is what amazes me. Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If I thought that those babies were going to hell because they never had an opportunity to reach 12 years of age and the age of accountability, then brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. He's my firstborn. But he's not my first baby. My first baby died in the womb. Very, very, very small. We didn't even give her or him a name. But Kindred, I take great comfort in looking at these passages of Scripture and knowing that baby died. Why? Because the baby was a sinner. Maybe not in exercise, but in nature. Oh, brothers and sisters, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That child would never have died had that child not had the nature of sin. People say, Brother Joe, I don't want to hear that about my babies. Mm-mm, not my babies. You know, over in the book of Psalms, over in Psalms, is it 58? Let me go over there and read it. See, the 56 or 58, that's one of those I always get confused. Do what? 58, there you go. Thank you, brother. That's what you get for having a pastor who studies right there. You know what I'm saying? We'll go over to Psalms 58 and we'll read these words. Which shall not. Okay, he said here, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. That's very plain. They're estranged from the womb. I mean, they don't come out of the womb and actually sin. I mean, they come out estranged. They're estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You know, a lot of people get offended at that. You know, I was just with Brother Jeff and Sister Tracy Zimmerman up in Edwardsville, Indiana. Not Indiana, Illinois, excuse me. One Yankee state's just like another to me. And, any of you, don't get offended, you Yankees. I love you, bless you, you know. But, you know, I'm staying with them, and they've got a little baby boy, a little boy Noah. He's a fine little sprout. I'm going to tell you, that chap's fine as frog's hair. And he is, he's not even talking yet. He just started toddling. I mean, he can get it, and he's busy. And they've taught him hand signals. They really have. They taught, thank you, and more, and cookie. And I don't know, I mean, that chap is just smart as a whip, and they've taught all their kids these little hand signals, you know, so they can communicate, you know, before they can actually talk, which I was impressed. I mean, Sister Laura and I were satisfied to raise stupid children, I guess. You know, they're all sweet. Don't be offended, Brother Royce, but compared to what those chaps are doing, people would say, y'all are stupid, you know? But I love my stupid children, don't you know? I love my little dumb children. They're awesome. They're wonderful. They're wonderful. But let me tell you something. As wonderful as they are, they're sinners. They're sinners. And sinners need what? Sinners need saving. And that little baby, we never gave. I keep calling her a her. I've got so many girls. I guess there's a tendency for me to do that. We never knew what her or his name was. But brothers and sisters, I thank God to know that in heaven right now, that child has a name. That child has a spiritual entity, a soul and a spirit that's in heaven right now. I don't want to believe other than that. Do y'all? I rejoice in that. People say, you primitive Baptists teach babies in hell a span long. My friends, no. I've never heard that. Some may advocate that, but I'll tell you, I don't want to. I don't want to. I'd like to go to a couple little places real quick and close. And I know school's out, right? School's out, boy, y'all in trouble now. No, I'm kidding. You know, usually you're worried about the kids staying up too late, but I know all these kids are sitting here saying, whoo, I hope he preaches till midnight. I'm ready to stay up late. Yeah, right. I go over, and where I'd like to go, I think, is Jeremiah chapter 31. And Jeremiah chapter 31 gives us a prophecy, beginning in verse 15. Thus saith the Lord. This is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. Now, you know, we read that. And you know, what was the test of a prophet? The test of a prophet was that he would prophesy something that would come to pass more immediately, and that, my friends, could also point at something that would come to pass further in the future. You know, prophets didn't just prophesy things that would happen in this day and age, because if they did, there would be nothing to verify their gift as a prophet, and no one would have any indication to believe them. So here, more immediately, when this was prophesied, I believe it was talking about the children of Israel that were being rounded up, loaded up, and taken into Babylonian captivity, continued Babylonian captivity. Refrain thy voice from weeping. But you know what? It doesn't just stop there. Because you go over into the Gospels and you read that this prophecy was fulfilled when what happened? When Herod ordered the murder of all children in that land from 2 years old and under. Why? Because it had been about 2 years since it was supposed to be the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted to make sure that his light was snuffed out. He didn't want any challenge to his kingship. So these children were slaughtered. Slaughtered. Can you imagine that? Little two-year-old babies, infants, just being wholesale slaughtered in an entire region. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're so thankful to live in a nation of laws and order and blessed peace. But that points to this prophecy. Now notice what it said. Refrain thy voice from weeping. So here he's not just talking about Babylonian captives. Here, my friends, by Bible knowledge, we have an understanding that this was fulfilled, speaking of these literal children that were slaughtered in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Now, those babies in the days of Jesus Christ, what was the land of the enemy, my friends? The land of the enemy is death. They shall come from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. And I want you to compare that with a passage of Scripture in Malachi chapter 1. Notice he said, thy children shall come again to their own border. And notice what is said of these borders. Now there, it's talking about Rachel. It's talking about her children. It's talking about the children of Israel. And now, brothers and sisters, we see that also applied to spiritual Israel, a picture of the elect children of God of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. And here we see in Malachi chapter 1, referring to Jacob and Esau. Now, how are Jacob and Esau applied in Romans chapter 9? They are applied, my friends, as a picture of the electing purpose of God. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. If you don't like that, then you keep on not liking it, but God's word says it, and I'll amen it, it's true. Jacob is in heaven, and Esau is in hell, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Now, brothers and sisters, we go back to this prophecy that it came from. Notice in Malachi and Romans chapter 9, it's applied to eternal election. Notice in Malachi chapter 1, he said, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now somebody may say, well, that's just talking about a nation. Well, ultimately it is referring to a nation, but more fully, it's talking about a manner of people. You remember when Jacob and Esau were fighting in the womb, it was told unto their mother that they're not only just two nations there, but they're two manner of men. Two manner of men in this womb. He says here, I hated Esau, laid his mountain, his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them, what? The border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. That's pretty strong language, is it not, Primitive Baptist? It sure is. People against whom the Lord hath indignation forever, and your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Brothers and sisters, what is the border that Rachel was comforted in her weeping? Stop thy weeping. Refrain from thine lamenting. What was her hope? What was her strength? That thy children shall return again unto thy border. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, those children, brothers and sisters, never got to hear the gospel preached, and even if they had, they couldn't have comprehended it. They couldn't have. But what's God's word of comfort to us? The Lord is in control. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That is the foundation of God that ever standeth sure and always has stood sure from even before the world began. The Lord knoweth them that are his. I've been talking to a brother, bless his heart. And he's a grace believer. He's different than us just on a little couple of things. But I'll tell you, there's one thing we can come to rest on. We come to rest on believing that the Lord's going to have all of his people. I tell you what, if we've got that, we've got common footing. I like that. We may interpret things a little bit different. He may think more people going to hear the gospel than I do. I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. So I'm going to try not to be too dogmatic about the things I don't know. But one thing that eats him alive is the same thing that eats me alive. Age of accountability. Age of accountability. Y'all have heard what that is. Age of accountability. That means a child, until he reaches the age, and it's just some arbitrary age that's pulled up. Most of the time I hear it's 12 years old. That at 12 years old, a child has then become cognizant enough and sensitive enough. I don't know very many rational 12-year-olds, y'all, I'm not trying to cuss you 12-year-olds out there, but bless your heart, I mean, you know. But they're 12 years old. They're able to understand. They're able to comprehend. They're able to respond to the gospel. That's the age of accountability. Well, the first thing I want to know is where? Book, chapter, verse. Where is the age of accountability in this Bible? It's not to be found anywhere. Now, that's pretty strange omission, if it were an omission of the Lord, because you consider, brothers and sisters, that up until the last, 50, 60 years, for the largest portion of the history of this world, the infant mortality rate was 50%. I mean, it was very few children that were born that actually lived past the age of 6 years old. There were so many diseases and maladies and things that were dangerous and would kill them, snuff them out. The infant mortality rate, 50% for practically all of the history, if not more, of the history of the world. Now, brothers and sisters, by this thought of age of accountability, if they die before the age of 12, then they're automatically saved. They're safe, so to say. They're automatically saved. Well, like we said, I can't find it in the Bible, and it would seem a very strange omission, considering that by that theory, probably over half of the population of this world that has ever lived are in heaven right now because they died in infancy. I mean, you're talking about a vast proportion of folks. I don't know how long this world will stand, but it'd have to be a vast proportion of the people living in heaven right now died because they never reached the age of accountability. But brothers and sisters, knowing that many of God's elect were saved in such a manner, I would ask you, where is it? Where is it? I have not been able to get an answer from anyone yet. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind, but brothers and sisters, I do read of one age of accountability in this Bible. It was 33 and a half years old. That's when Jesus Christ hung on the tree of Golgotha's cross, and he paid the sin debt for all of his people. My friends, he by himself purged our sin debt and is seated at the right hand of God right now. You want an age of accountability? It was an accountable age for one man, 33 and a half years old as he dwelt in the flesh, but he is the eternal Son of God who's always known his people and is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, ever living to be an intercessor for them right now. That's the age of accountability that I like to preach, that Jesus did it all for his people. Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. My first little baby I never saw will be in heaven one day, and I look forward to seeing that child. Brothers and sisters, I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to seeing Brother Ronald. Brother Ronald, I hope you're going to be there. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking, you probably think the same to me. I'm looking forward to it, brothers and sisters. And we're not going to be patting one another on the back and things of that nature. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be singing the praise of the glorious Lamb of God, the Lamb as it was slain in heaven. We're going to be able to look on his face, and we will know even as we are known. Somebody may say, Brother Joe, I think it would have been better if you'd have taught us some kind of godly living, some kind of duty, some kind of family thing. I know how to teach that. But brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean anything without this. It doesn't mean anything without believing in the God who is able to save and uphold and redeem his family that he came to save. I could preach on and on about it till we all fall asleep, but I don't want to do that. I thank you for your good order intentions. I've stood before you.